Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
Our Father, you, through your Son, you call us from death to life, from sin to forgiveness, from this old life to a new life. So open us up, O Lord, and have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So some time ago, there was I'm part of this thing on Facebook with a bunch of other pastors in the Covenant denomination where I have my ordination, and they were going around and around about membership. And I made a comment. We're sloppy about membership. And by that I mean, if you're here, as far as I'm concerned, you're one of us. And as far as everyone else is concerned, you're one of us. And we will care for you and love you in whatever way we can. And so membership is just sort of a recognition that you're part of us. That's really it. So when we have our orientation right after our service this morning up in the Sunshine Room, we're going to give you a little bit of background about our church, some of our history, our theology, and just want to encourage you to get involved in the life of the church. So after I posted that, one pastor who was approaching 80 years old responded, "That is so refreshing." Because let's face it, a lot of churches do this, and it's all about money and that kind of thing. And, we do have a financial minimum requirement to be a part of this church, just $50,000 a year. That was one of the rumors about our church when we started our church. But we invite you, if you have not been to that orientation, even if you've been here for if it's your first Sunday, or if you've been here for a couple of years and you haven't been to that, you're welcome to join us upstairs afterwards. Now, our text this morning, Jesus has been facing a lot of difficulty with the religious authorities in and around Jerusalem. So he and his disciples got out of Dodge. They went to the east, they crossed the Jordan River, and they were over there on the far side. And whenever Jesus and the disciples would come to Jerusalem, oftentimes they would stay, at least Jesus would stay, at the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, friends of Jesus. And so they had a relationship with one another, and they all loved each other. And so they're on the far side of the Jordan, and someone comes to them and said that Lazarus is in real trouble. He's in a lot of trouble, close to death, if not gone. And so Jesus makes an odd response. He said, "We'll go, but in a couple days." And then they go, and they're on their way, and of the three of them, Martha comes out to meet Jesus and the disciples. Hear the word of God as it comes from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Mary and Martha in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is to come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people were at the house consoling Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, and so they followed her. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed blind men, healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? And so they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. May God add his understanding to this hearing of his word. So Jesus declared, I am the resurrection and the life. This is one of the last of the I am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John. I am the shepherd, I am the door, I am the bread, I am the living water. Before Abraham was, I am the truth, the life, I am the resurrection. All of these I am statements, and he was not even running for president. He was making declaration of who he was in relationship with the people and with God. And yet he comes to them and makes these statements. But it's so very, very hard for them to understand exactly what it means. What does he mean? What does this identity have to do with them? How does this impact their personal lives? You know, every week as I prepare, during the week I read all these articles about what's going on in our country, all the crazy things going on in the world. And as I prepare, I think, what does this have to do with our people day in, day out? What does it have to do with our everyday life? And what I come down to is that the most important element of our life is our understanding of who God is in relationship to us. Who is this man, Jesus? And how does he really embody the reality of who God is? And if we can tap our lives down into that reality, and we can handle all the craziness going on of our world out there, the political realm, but also the craziness of our own personal day-in, day-out lives. This was the news that both Martha and Mary had to grapple with. And that is, Jesus comes to them now just more than a friend, but now as God with them, as one in whom they can put their faith and their trust. And so he makes his statements that sound outrageous. Even if you die, you're going to live. If you live and believe in me, you will never die. How can he say this? Except for who he is. The great I am, with us, among us, God present with us, the one who is worthy of our trust. But both sisters meet him with the why question. Now, the why question is a question that never gets answered. Remember when I was in seminary, in one of my pastoral theology classes, they said, well, you never ask someone why, because it's pointed, it's harsh. Why'd you do that? Like talking to a kid. We don't ask that why question if we're going to be inviting ongoing conversation. We work around the word why and we come up with a different way of asking, and that's how both Martha and Mary did it. They simply said, Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. That's a roundabout way of saying, why weren't you here? Why did this happen? Why me? Why now? Why this? I think it was Thursday morning, and I heard about this woman who had driven off the road into the water at the Isles of Collier Preserve, knowing that we have at least a half dozen families who live there. And I just was stunned. 3:30 in the morning, 52 years old, I think. And the mother, a mother, young mother. And I can't help but ask, why? You know, speed doesn't answer the question. Whether or not there was alcohol in the system doesn't answer the question. There's always a question of why. Why this? And we ask that question all the time with our lives. Why did this happen? I've also been receiving some of these notifications that from Microsoft telling me about memories, pictures, old pictures of the church. And some pictures of me right outside here. One of them was my greeting Bill Hoagland. It's his desk that's right in the middle of our office upstairs. He was head of the Pontiac Division for General Motors, one of the vice presidents of GM. And he's gone. And there I was with him, his smiling face. And yes, I know we only live so long in this world. But why is it that we're constructed in such a way that we don't want to live just so long in this world? And we want to keep going. I told someone the other day that I identify as a 25-year-old. Why? So the sisters of Lazarus are so horrifically torn up. They are so broken. They both ask Jesus in that roundabout manner, Why? Why weren't you here? Why did this happen? And then it says that Jesus went with them to the tomb, was with them in their grief, and with all of the others who had come around in their horrific mourning and grief. And he, this man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief himself, wept. And the language that is used here for his weeping is not just sort of a wet eye and little tears down his cheek, but it's a hard weeping, a bouncing of the shoulders weeping. It's the shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. And everything pauses at that point. The question was, why is it this man who could cure a blind man couldn't have done something? Why wasn't he here? Why this? Why that? And when they see him there weeping, well, of course, he couldn't. He can't. He himself is subject to this harsh reality of death. And then Jesus stood up. And he looked at the tomb and told them to roll away the stone. Martha, who was sort of the anal retentive one, the one who was OCD about just about everything, said, you know, it's going to stink really bad. He's been in there for 4 days. I love the King James. It says, behold, he stinketh. The stone is rolled away. And Jesus steps forward and looks into the dark reality of why. The complete emptiness of death. C.S. Lewis says, we follow one who stood and wept at the grave of Lazarus, not surely because he grieved that Mary and Martha wept and sorrowed for their lack of faith, but because death, the punishment of sin, is even more horrible in his eyes than in ours. We talk about death as if it's, well, just part of life. Death is not a part of life. Death is part of death. And in the eyes of our Lord, in the eyes of our God, it is a horrific affront to the way we have been made and to the intention that he has for our redemption. Our redemption means that his intent is not that we die and simply turn to dust and into nothingness, but that we live. That we pass through that portal and that life opens up to us. That we live. So those words of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. And so he calls out to Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. He calls us by name. Come out of the death of fear. Come out of the darkness of your grief. Come out of the darkness of sin. Come out of the darkness of those things that burden you. Come out and know the resurrection, the newness of life that is in him. Let me just say, if you have not received the love of God demonstrated to you in Christ Jesus. Know this, He calls you by name. Jesus doesn't put out a generic, wide call. He doesn't call groups of people. I don't believe Jesus ever saw a crowd. He sees us one at a time, and He prompts us in our hearts. And if you have yet to say yes to that prompting, please do. Will you join me in prayer? And so, gracious God, this foreshadows the ultimate conquering of death. This foreshadows the reality that the ultimate of life is not death, but the ultimate of life is life. And thank you that when we ask our why questions, you answer with why we can trust you. And so we put our trust in you, O Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray in your precious name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.